November the 23rd, 1963, long time ago, eh? But it was a very important day for me. It was the day that I was going to marry the girl of my dreams, Grace. And by the end of that day, I had an Auntie Grace. I always had her, ever since I'd been born. I had a mother-in-law whose name was Grace, and I had a wife whose name was Grace. Now, my Auntie Grace, for Christmas in 1962, had given me a little calendar. And on this calendar, it had some sayings or Bible verses. So I was very interested on what that calendar was going to say to me on November the 23rd, 1963. You know what it said? Now, grace is the ruling factor. You know, when it comes to the things of God, grace is one of the great ruling factors with him. And we are learning of the outrageous grace of God from an amazing and often controversial book of the Old Testament, Jonah. Do you know what grace means? This is what it means. A favour freely bestowed on one who didn't deserve it. A favour bestowed on one who really didn't deserve it. Some years ago I read a story about a lady who had her precious jewellery stolen by a thief, who disposed of it all and the money before he was discovered. Found guilty, he was fined very heavily by the judge, which if he did not pay, meant he faced a long prison sentence. Then something unheard of happened. The victim, the lady who had lost all her jewellery, stepped forward and said, "Judge, I will pay this debt in full." And so the man went from that courtroom a free man. I reckon that was outrageous grace. A favour bestowed on someone who didn't deserve it. Don't you think so? And you know, that's God's heart. He bestows on people a favour they do not deserve, eternal life. And I trust this morning that all here are the possessors of eternal life. You can only get through eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. It's in him that grace of God is displayed. Now we're going to read Jonah. Or Jonah chapter 1, and I've invited a work friend of mine, Hannah. I don't know whether you know Hannah, but she's a South Islander. Give her a good clap, shall we? Take one of these, Hannah, and yep, okay, you do that one. Hannah's a graduate of Lincoln University. It was just last week you were getting capped, was it? Yeah. You're right there? Yeah. Good.
This morning, I will be reading from Jonah chapter 1, verses 4 to 17, if you'd like to follow along. Verse 4. Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. All the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God. They threw cargo into the sea to lighten the ship, But Jonah had gone below deck, where he lay down and fell into a deep sleep. The captain went to him and said, "How can you sleep? Get up and call on your God. Maybe he will take notice of us, and that we will not perish." Then the sailors said to each other, "Come, let us cast lots to find out who is responsible for this calamity." They cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. So they asked, "Tell us, who is responsible for making this trouble for us? What kind of work do you do? Where do you come from? What is your country? From what people are you?" He answered, "I am a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." This terrified them, and they asked, "What have you done?" They knew he was running away from the Lord, because he had already told them so. Then the sea was getting rougher and rougher, so they asked him, "What should we do to make the sea calm down for us?" "Pick me up and throw me into the sea," he replied, "and it will be calm. I know that it is my fault that this great storm has come upon you." Instead, the men did their best to row back to land, but they could not, for the sea grew even wilder than before. Then they cried out to the Lord, "Please, Lord, do not let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man, for you, Lord, have done as you pleased." Then they took Jonah and threw him overboard into the and the raging sea grew calm. At this, the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to him and made vows to him.
Thank you. Thank you, Hannah. Say hello to Hannah and her husband Ryan, won't you, if you haven't done that before? They really are good people. Just some background about Jonah. Jonah was a Hebrew. He actually was a believer from Galilee. Do you know who else came from Galilee later than Jonah? Who? Jesus, that's right. Jesus came from Galilee. So did Jonah. He knew God. He heard from God. And he actually spoke for God. He was a real person. History tells us that. He was around when Jeroboam II was king of Israel, and he'd actually made a prophecy that even under the wicked king, God was going to restore the boundaries of Israel. And that actually happened. And above all, we know he was a real person because you know why? Jesus said he was. And you can rely on the words of the Lord Jesus. But Jonah, as we'll find out, was running away from God. Because we learned last week that God had spoken to Jonah. And the message was, get up and go to the great city of Nineveh and announce my judgment against it. But Jonah didn't want to do that. He ran in the opposite direction. He found a boat that was on the way to Tarshish, which is in Spain. Nineveh is in the opposite direction, in the country we now called Iraq. And we find out, as you read the book of Jonah, right near the end, why Jonah ran away. You know why? He said this to God. God, you are the one who relents from destroying people. I knew you were a merciful God and a God full of grace. And I thought that if they repented, you'd let them off. Good thinking, eh? Especially when these people were your enemies. And then just a little bit about the city of Nineveh. It was the capital of Assyria. Assyria at this time were becoming a world power. They were wealthy and they were becoming very powerful from a military point of view. They were developing new weapons, and they were becoming masters of psychological warfare. As Stephen told us last week, their cruelty was beyond imagination. They were eye gougers. They actually skinned people alive. Imagine getting your skin taken from your body while you are alive. And worse than that, then they cut off your head. They put your head around the banqueting hall while the blood was dripping, and they rejoiced in their false gods. Around the city was a strong wall, and it protected the drinking water and the city should it ever be attacked. It was really known as an impregnable city. And God said to Jonah, "Jonah, I want you to go with a message of judgment to these people, and unless they repent, they will know the judgment of the living God." And so through the city and its people, Jonah was called. And he seemed to have a problem about it, didn't he? What say they listen to God? Then God will show his great mercy and his grace to them, and they will be delivered. I'm a Hebrew, and I don't like God saving people like them. It makes me feel quite uncomfortable. I'll run as far as I can from this assignment to a place where I can forget about it. So we read, he found a ship bound for Tarshish, paid for the fare, went on board to flee from God. He must have said, "Hurrah! Now I don't have to think about giving any message to those Assyrians." But Jonah forgot one thing. You know what it was? You cannot run from the presence of God. You can't. Some years ago, I was assigned with another fella to go into West Papua to have a look around there, and the assignment was to do some work on how would we ever reach the Muslim people who were being settled in that area by the Indonesians. And it was just at that time, freedom fighters were around, and the whole place was tense. Anyway, we did what we had to do in the city of Jayapura. And blow me down, my mate Kevin said, "You know, I haven't got a visa to get back into Papua New Guinea." So we had to go to the High Commission office in Jayapura. And miraculously, Kevin got a visa to go back with me into Papua New Guinea. And we noticed a fellow sitting in a chair. He was a white-skinned person, a European. And we spoke to him, and it was obvious that he was a European, but English was his second language. But he could speak English reasonably well. And he said, I want to get into Papua New Guinea and get out of this place because I've been in prison for a couple of weeks and they've released me. And I'm a reporter, that's my occupation, and they're very suspicious of me." He said, "Where are you guys going?" And we told him. He said, "Oh, can I come with you?" And we told him he could. And then they called him over to the counter, and they gave him a whole sheaf of paper. And so we set back off to the border of PNG, which was about an hour and a half away. And when we got there, the border was closed, and there were policemen all around. And they said, "Sorry, you can't go back into Papua New Guinea." And we said, "Well, we've got visas to get there. And we're Commonwealth citizens, you'll have to let us in. So they said, okay. And you'll have to let our mate in here, he's got a visa too. And he pulled out all this paper. And he said, he ain't got no visa. He's got his application form for there, but they handed it back. And because he didn't understand English too well, he didn't realise he didn't even have a visa, so they wanted to send him back. He was frightened that he would be killed. But we persuaded them, the authorities, the police, to let him come with us. And the thing was, when we got to a place called Vonimo, you know where Vonimo is, don't you, Tasa? Yeah. We were to take him to the High Commission office there and he would get a visa. But why I'm telling you this, this fellow had to stay with us the whole weekend. And we were running some seminars on Christian things in Vonimo, and he had to sit and listen. And it turned out that the reason this guy was travelling the world and going to these rather remote places was that he was trying to run away from God. And my Papua New Guinean friends kept telling him the whole weekend, sir, you cannot run away from God. There was a man called Jonah and he thought he could. And he couldn't. God chases you. God pursues you. Even if you are a prodigal. He's calling you all the time to come back to him and see what's happened. You're listening to his word the whole weekend now. This is who God is. And God hadn't finished with Jonah. He pursues the prodigal. And this is what we read. And we read it this morning. Listen to it. Jonah's running away. He's in a ship. The Lord hurled a powerful wind over the sea, causing a violent storm that threatened to break the ship apart. Fearing for their lives, the desperate sailors shouted to their gods for help and threw the cargo overboard to lighten the ship. Now listen, what was Jonah doing? All this time, Jonah was sound asleep down in the hold. So the captain went down after him. How can you sleep at a time like this? He shouted. Get up and pray to your God. Maybe he will pay attention to us and spare our lives. Sad, eh? Jonah was to have taken a message of judgment, yet of God's mercy and grace to the people of Nineveh. But he was so apathetic to taking this message, he was now sound asleep. Sound asleep. He was forgetting even to pray. While people were shouting out to false gods, he couldn't even be bothered to ask God for help. So he went to sleep. Christians, did you know that God isn't willing that anyone should perish, but that all should come to repentance? Did you know that? And so that this might happen, he has given us a message to take to all the people. It's called the gospel. And he instructs us, you and me, as believers, to take it to the world. And this is his command. Go and make disciples of all ethnic groups. That's what it really means. Doesn't matter who they are, where they come from, what country they come from, whether they're cruel or not, even ISIS. go and take the gospel to them. In Acts 1 verse 7, Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, you will be my witnesses in your home place, in your own district, to neighboring countries, and to the ends of the earth. Now the question for me is, how well have I carried out my Lord's instructions? Maybe, God, I'm just another Jonah. Am I frightened that people I don't like might get converted, and that's going to be a problem for me? I'm going to feel uneasy about them being in my church. Or maybe I just don't care that my relatives, my friends, my neighbours are on the way to hell. I ask myself, am I like Jonah? And have I gone to sleep when there is turmoil and strife all around? And so this morning I just want to share with you very briefly what happens and what happened when Jonah really became apathetic and went to sleep. Because there are consequences in this. This is what we learn from Jonah. And the first one is, think about Nineveh. There were the people of this city, 120,000 people, were continuing to live in spiritual darkness. The wrath and judgment of Almighty God continued to be upon them. And the Bible tells us that it's a fearsome thing to fall into the hands of the living God. They didn't know this, but God wanted them to know. Can you see the outrageous grace of God? They didn't know it, but God wanted them to know. And in His grace, God had a plan. And that was to send Jonah to tell them. But now he was sound asleep in the bottom of the boat. Some years ago when I was at a Christian camp as a young guy, some fellow older fella at a prayer meeting read some verses from Ezekiel 33. Ever read them? It really, really bothers me. It goes something like this. God says, I've got a message for you to take to people. And if you take it to them and they listen and say, baloney, I'm not going to have that, God says, watchman, I won't hold you responsible. But if you say to yourself, oh, I don't want to take that message, I'm not going to, and this is where it really spoke to me, God says, I will hold you responsible. It's frightening, isn't it? Because one day I might have to stand before God and He says, you know those neighbours of yours? I gave you a message to take to them and you didn't do it. And now they're not in heaven with you. I hold you responsible. The people of Nineveh were on their way to judgment. And what about the sailors? Verse 4 says, the Lord flung a violent storm that threatened to send them to the bottom. Fearing for their lives, Jonah fleeing resulted in fear coming upon the sailors. An absolute confusion. They were totally uncertain as to what was going to happen. So they started to rely on their own efforts. They started to throw goods over. And they shouted to their own gods. And on their own strategies. All because Jonah was asleep. Oh God, I wonder what's happening to people because I go to sleep about presenting the gospel to them. I need to cry out to God for forgiveness. Do you? Maybe you're so much more faithful than me. And what about the consequence to Jonah himself? Verse 5b. All this time, Jonah was asleep. In other words, he was unaware of the storm. He was unaware of the sailors' vain attempts to find deliverance from what was happening. And we say, how could he? He was a prophet. He was a man. He was of the family of God. And yet he was asleep on the job that God had given him to do. And the interesting thing was, he couldn't even be bothered to pray. So he fell asleep. Sad, sad consequence, was it not, for Jonah? So you see what happens when we're apathetic to taking God's message. The message that we've been asked to take to the world. There's pending judgment for people. There's fear and confusion. And there's a lack of awareness. And you know, sometimes I get very disturbed about what's going on in the world, don't you? And I sort of think, you know, those crazy people, they just deserve the judgment. They just deserve to be gotten rid of. Because they're doing atrocious things. And they're ruining society. Do you ever feel like that? Well, I just wonder sometimes whether God's got something to say to the Church of God about what's happening. Because you see, the problem with what was happening in this boat and on the sea was really because of Jonah, was it not? I don't know why God put it into the minds of my church leaders to ask me to talk about Jonah. But now I do know why. God has spoken to me And in some moments I think, this command to take the message of God to people is too hard. They won't listen anyway. And in those moments of thinking like that, God has turned my thoughts to the Bible in Romans chapter 10. And in verse 8 it says, the message is close at hand. It is on your lips and in your heart. And then later on in the same passage it says, and anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Do you believe that? Anyone? But then it goes on to say, but how can they call unless they believe in him? If they've never heard about him. How can they if they've never heard about him? Rhetorical question, isn't it? And how can they hear about him unless somebody tells them? The words of Scripture. And how will anyone tell them unless they are sent? And my dear Christian friends, today we are the sent ones. Go and make disciples, said Jesus. You will be my witnesses. And some people say, oh, look, I'm not a theologian, I don't know enough. What does a witness do? A witness just tells what happened. And it isn't very hard, is it? To tell people, did you know God loved you? And Christ died for you? And if you will call upon him, I know you will have eternal life. And if there's anybody in this congregation this morning and you have never committed your life to Christ, if you do not have eternal life, we as a church want to tell you very strongly, the only way back to God, the only way to receive eternal life is to come to Christ and believe that he died for your sins and that because he lives, he can grant to you eternal life. We want you to know that because it's so true and it's so simple and so easy, yet it's so profound. You see, the outrageous grace of God is this. He doesn't give up on us to take this message. That's why he's getting at me and why he's getting at you back. We're really all prodigals in one sense, I think. We run away from God and what he wants us to do. But he won't give up on us, and he didn't give up on Jonah. And so we come to the challenge. Am I a Jonah? Apathetic to people's need of Christ. What would you tell God this morning? Maybe you've got members of your family, as I have, who do not know Christ. Maybe God wants us to be the ones to tell them. Friends, work colleagues, neighbours. What about the Roslyn suburb? What about the nations of the world? What about our own nation, New Zealand? The challenge is, are we going to tell them? Hmm? And I was thinking this morning, to be practical, that we just spend maybe a minute or 2 minutes thinking about who can I pray for? Maybe a family member, maybe a friend, maybe a neighbor, maybe our country. Is God laying you on you something that you should be praying for? Ask and keep on asking. Seek and keep on seeking and you'll find. And I thought it would be a good idea if we just stopped for a moment and thought, who can I home in on? Who can I pray for right now as I sit in my seat? And don't only do it here in church this morning, but keep on praying for them and keep on going to see them and keep on looking for an opportune time to tell them about the outrageous grace of God toward you and toward them. I'll give you just a minute to think about that. And you pray for somebody right now who needs to come to Christ. Lord God, forgive us for the times when we have blamed Jonah for running away. For running away of taking your message to the people you wanted to hear. And Lord, forgive us for the times when we have run away just like he has. Forgive us for our apathy. Forgive us for just going to sleep on the job. Implant in our minds and hearts from this time forth that you want us to be your witnesses. And Lord, you have heard the prayers of your people this morning. Answer them for the honor and glory of your name. And bring our unsaved family members. Bring those who are confused and fearful, our friends, our work colleagues, our neighbours, our district, our suburb, our country, back to yourself to find salvation. For, O God, we believe your word. We believe the words of the Lord Jesus when he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Oh God, implant our responsibility for these people in our hearts from this day forth. It's my prayer for myself and for my Christian family in this place. Thank you, God, that you are a God who is drawing the prodigal back. Thank you, Lord. Hear our prayers, we pray. In the name of Jesus, our Lord. Amen.